This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Great. I want to jump in this morning. We are talking, we are in installment number 6 on our series, The Miracles of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you're here for the first time or you've missed some along the way. They're standalone miracles. They each have a purpose. But it's been us taking the miracles of Jesus. Jesus performed 37 miracles in the Gospels, and we've been taking some of those miracles and looking at them, looking at the life of Christ, and seeing how they speak to us today. And I hope if you've been here for 1, 2, 3, or how many you've been here for, I hope it's built your faith. That you found like there's things that you've learned, but more than anything else, I want us to take away that this is not just what Jesus did then, but this is what he still does in our lives today. And we just believe here at CLC that God still does miracles, and he can do those miracles in your life. And so today we're going to look at an amazing, amazing miracle today, and it's found in the book of Luke and one of the Gospels, the Gospel writer, St. Luke. And it's in the Bible, and I just want to say to you, I want to pause for a minute and just say, how many of you know how awesome the Bible is? I mean, how many of you know, like, the Bible will guide your life, okay? And if you haven't picked it up and started applying it, I'm just encouraging you today, take baby steps, but you will find that the Bible will speak to you, encourage you, strengthen you. Get in your Bible. Come on. So Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we're going to start. I'm going to read this story, and I want to start here with the very first one. So here we go. It'll be on the screen. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Now, I want to stop there for a moment because it's important to draw the correlation that the Bible says that he was covered with leprosy. And it's there intentionally, it's there for a reason, because it wants you to know that this wasn't just a guy who showed up with a spot on his arm or a spot on his face. His entire body was covered with leprosy. Like, he was sick. He needed a touch. And it also tells us that this wasn't something that just happened yesterday, but that he had been living with this disease. And he's covered. The Bible wants us to know that. It goes on in verse 13, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing." Now, first, I just want to pause here. We just sing songs about gratitude. Let me hear you this morning. I am so thankful that I serve a Jesus that is willing. He's willing. He's willing to do the miracles. He's willing, and he desires to meet with you and to be a part of your life. I mean, I couldn't imagine reading this scripture and Jesus saying, "I am not willing." But I think it's a phrase that it's not selective. I think anytime we come to Jesus, he is willing. He's willing. And he says to him, "I am willing." He said, "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Goes on and it says in verse 14, then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Verse 15, yet the news, even though he told him not to, yet the news about him spread all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Now, I'm going to read verse 16. It's not on the screen yet, but I want to just stop before I read that and tell you, I've left it, this particular verse, in this sermon for a reason, because it's sort of a life verse for me and probably should be a life verse for all of you, even though verse 16, and you'll see in a moment, doesn't seem to connect to the story. But let me say it this way. When Jesus is doing miracles everywhere, there are crowds all around him. We get verse 16, which is this remarkable verse, and this is what it says. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, look at that. I want to first encourage our church this morning. Don't ever tell me you're too busy to pray, right? Don't ever take the position that you don't have time to pray. If you are too busy to pray, you're too busy, okay? I'm just saying, look at Jesus' life. This is why this is left in here. Look at him. He who lived a life on mission. He lived a life. He was on assignment. How many know Jesus was on borrowed time? He had limited time, and yet he still found the time to withdraw and pray. I think it just shows us the importance of spending time with God the Father. I think it just illustrates to us that if Jesus needed time to pray in the midst of a busy life, I think you and I also need time with the Father as well. So he does this miracle, and I want to talk to us real quickly this morning about it. And it's really simply the miracle of the cleansing of the leper. Now, you might see this morning and go, well, Pastor Heath, good, that's good for this miracle, but that's not a miracle that I need in my life, right? So this is a great day to come to church because I could just be a spectator this morning because I don't have to deal with leprosy, right? So I can just chill and watch everything else. Hear me, I want to give you a little background on why you need this miracle and why you need the cleansing from this thing called leprosy. When you think of leprosy, right, you think of this disease that affects your skin and that types of thing if you know anything about it. And now I'm pretty positive that you're in a room right now that this is not a disease in our room, okay? So I'm just pretty positive you can take a deep breath and be okay with that. Hopefully it's mostly been eradicated from our country. They say that there is about 150 cases of a year in our country in America of leprosy. And so I would just say to you, if you're one of the 150 this morning, we love you, but you can leave now, okay? So I'm just kidding. You don't need to leave. But if you see leprosy in the Old Testament, it's really prevalent in the Old Testament, especially if you read the book of Leviticus that dealt a lot with leprosy. And you see how they were very weird about leprosy. They were ostracized. They were kicked out of the communities. They were forced to live in colonies. Leprosy, but you got to get this, leprosy in the Old Testament 3,000 plus years ago was not the leprosy of today. In fact, in the Old Testament, when they would use the word leprosy, it was kind of a catch-all for all things that were skin disease related. So like if you could have skin cancer, or you could just have an infection or a boil or a cut, you could have barely bad acne, or you could literally have leprosy. But no matter what skin thing you had, they threw you in one pile called leprosy. And they threw you in that, and then they would perform rituals, and they would try to cleanse you, and it was terrible, and it was horrific, but they labeled everything leprosy. Now that changed in Jesus' time. Because in Jesus' time, where this story picks up in Luke chapter 5, and what we're dealing with, the same type of leprosy today is the same disease that we still see in the world today. The very little in America, they say there's about 2 million cases worldwide of leprosy, right? But it was horrible. It was a horrible disease that would break you down. So this morning, I want to talk to you quickly about how does this apply to us today? Because we may think, well, Pastor Heath, if the miracle is needing cleansing from leprosy, I'm good. I'm all good. Like, what does that have to do with me? I'm not facing that this morning. Here's why. Because leprosy throughout the scripture had stood for something. In fact, I wrote on the screen, it'll be on the screen, leprosy in the Bible is a symbol of our sinful nature. Leprosy was a symbol of our sinful nature. It's the sin that's inside of you that needs to be eradicated. So you might have came in this morning and thought you were off the hook because you don't have leprosy, but the reality is we've all got sinful nature. We've all got a sinful nature. We've all got those sinful tendencies inside of us that we have to get rid of, that we have to eradicate. And so I don't care how long you have been serving Jesus, how many years you've been into it. You can be doing this for all your life since you were at Vacation Bible School and whatever, or you could be new to this. I don't care how long you've been serving Jesus, you still got some issues that you need to deal with in your life. All of us do. And so daily, right, we have to, it's a battle for all of us. Have you ever, you know that whole adage, and it's true in our lives, right? You know you have like those two voices, like that one on one side, it's like, don't do that. But then the other one says, it's okay, right? You know that battle that's like, well, I can't do that, it'd be wrong. The other one says, no, it'll be all right. Like just a couple days or a week ago, I was in a conversation and that voice came in and says, don't say what you're gonna say. And the other one says, it'll be all right. And I'm like, oh, I don't know, is this gonna hurt me? And I'm like, no, go ahead, say it, it's cool, right? And I did it, I said it. Don't judge me, because you do it all the time. You give in to the other side. It's a battle. It's a war. It's going on between us. And there's those moments where we know we shouldn't. We know what we shouldn't do. What do we do, the church, with those unwanted desires? What do we do with those unwanted reactions? What do we do with those unwanted attitudes? What do we do with the sin that's inside of us? Because that is what we are being cleansed of when Jesus tells this story of the cleansing of the lepers. Because it's actually all of us who need cleansing in our lives. All of us. And so this morning, I'm going to give you, and I'm hesitant to always give a number because people are like, oh, that's a lot. But I'll promise, I'll be quick. But I want to give you five connection points quickly this morning between leprosy and sin and show you how they connect. The first one is simply this. Leprosy and sin are internal issues. Leprosy and sin are internal issues. Now, I have to be careful every time I put a message together that talks about diseases because we have doctors in the church and they're probably going to correct me, but I don't care. I'm the brainiac today. So when you think of leprosy, you think of, so a lot of times we think of like people's finger falling off, an ear, a nose, some skin or extremity that's all messed up. But the reality is leprosy is not a skin disease, right? It is something deep inside of you. It's a bacterial infection that comes into the body and it festers until finally it surfaces outwardly. It's what's inside that corrupts them. It's what's inside that corrupts them. And I want you to get this, because the reality of our lives, it's what's inside of you that corrupts you. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 15. He says, you know, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. So in other words, sin comes from the inside of us. So when we have those moments, like we have moments in our lives where we think we're dealing with it, but really we're just dealing with the symptoms. We're just dealing with the actions, right? If you're married, if you've ever been in an argument, you maybe have heard terms in your marriage, like when you're fighting with them, it's like, I can't believe you said that. Or maybe you're with your spouse, you're like, I can't believe you responded that way. The reality is you're not dealing with the right thing. You're not talking about the real issue. Hear me this morning, the real issue is not your actions, it's your heart. It's your heart. It's the why. Why am I doing it? It's what's inside of you. James writes it this way. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. You know how you're in an argument and you say this because you know you've done it a million times when you're in an argument with somebody and you say, I'm not going to say what I really want to say. How many of you been there? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to say what I really want to say to you. Well, that's probably what you should have said, because that's what you really think. Like that's what's inside of you, because that's your desire. That's what's living inside you. It starts with a desire that builds into an action. And when it grown, it results in death. In other words, the sin inside of it, it's a progression, but it starts from inside of us. Hear me, but that's why Christianity is so important. That's why you following Christ is so very important. I wrote it this way. You got to get this. Write this down. Christianity isn't about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. It's not about modifying your behavior. It's about transforming your heart. That's what following Jesus is about. It's not about whether you are good or bad. It's about what does your heart say? That's what Christianity is all about. It's the fact that it's not about my action, but it's about what's in here. And our prayer this morning should simply be, Lord, change what's in here. And as he changes what's in here, guess what? He'll change what you do out there. Number two, leprosy. We know of the connection. Leprosy and sin can only stay hidden for a season. Leprosy and sin can only stay hidden for a season. You can have leprosy wrecking inside of you. True research tells me that you can have leprosy wrecking inside you for anywhere around up to 3 years before it actually shows up on your skin. Living inside of you. You have to imagine that people were literally walking around infected, transmitting each other, having no clue that there was something wrong inside of them. Like, you ever had that where you're like, well, I feel bad. Something feels off inside of me, but it hasn't shown up yet. And then how many know it's the same way with sin? It's only a matter of time before those internal sins get externally shown in your life. We think, well, I'm hiding it. No one sees it. It's just, I don't want anybody to know. And hear me, I know, church. I know you came here this morning and you're probably thinking to yourself, the last thing you want to hear is a whole message on sin. Right? Nobody wants to come to church and hear that. But sometimes I have to be your pastor, right? Well, maybe all the time. But sometimes I have to be your pastor. And I'm telling you, in this day that we're living in, there are too many people being ripped apart by sin, and no one is warning them about it. No one's talking about it. Those hidden things, hidden attitudes, hidden desires, nobody knows. But I'm telling you, they will be revealed. They will come out. Unfortunately, my calling as a pastor puts me front and center of how sin wrecks the marriage, how sin wrecks the family, how sin wrecks the business, how sin wrecks the person. We need to deal with it while it's internal in our lives. Jesus again said it in Matthew 15. He said it another way, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. In other words, what he's saying, these are not random things. They come from your heart. It didn't just happen one day. Like, I love being, one of the best things about being a pastor is being around people and they say a bad word and they're like, oh, pastor, sorry. Oh, pastor, I, you know? Or they'll say, I don't know where that came from. And I'm like, I know exactly where that came from. Love it. How about this one? Like, my mom was classic for this. Like, when company was coming over to the house, what's the thing you have to do, right? You got to clean. And I just always want to say to her, Mom, aren't we just living a lie? This is all a lie. Like, don't you just want people to come to your house and say, hey, man, this is how we live, right? We're pigs, right? Instead, we clean all day. We do all this work, right? And then when they come over, what do you say? Sorry, the house is a mess. I just haven't had time to clean it. You're lying. Like, I was like, Mom, you're lying. I've been working all day cleaning this house. Give me some credit. But that's how we are. Like, we want to just keep things hidden. Can I just encourage you this? You will always be as sick as your secrets. You'll always be as sick as your secrets. You cannot keep it hidden and be healthy. You just can't. And if you want to live a life healthy, experiencing all that God has for you, then we've got to get the hidden things out of our lives. And we need to go to Jesus with our issues and with our mess. Listen to me, God knows the only way for you to get healthy is to remove the sin. And hear me, church, you have two options. Option number one, you expose it. Option number two, the Holy Spirit will expose it. And I'm just saying to you, I would rather go to God myself and say, God, I got things in my life that I need you to take out, that I need you to expose. Help me to live for you. Expose it. Number three, I think leprosy and sin separate relationships. Leprosy and sin separate relationships. The correlation. We saw this in the Old Testament. The reality in the Old Testament was when you got some type of skin disease, you were placed outside the camp. You were placed outside the town. It was the original OG. The original quarantine, okay? We can all relate to that now. Like, we all know what that means. You could just have a bad case of acne, hear me, and they would throw you out into a camp. You could just have a small lesion by someone, and they would throw you into a camp because their idea was, we don't know what this is, so we're gonna be safe and we're gonna ostracize you and separate our relationship with you. And hear me, that's the reality. Just ostracize them based off their issue. And that's what happens when it comes to sin, because leprosy, it has this infectious disease that could spread to people. So the practice was, let's get them as far away as possible. Not only that, when you had leprosy in the Old Testament, you had to wear special clothing that identified you as a leper. When you would walk into a room or to an area of town, you had to proclaim out loud, unclean, unclean. You had to announce yourself. If you did that in church, right, come in walking unclean, saying that, we probably would call someone to escort you out. But that's what they had to do. They had to say unclean so that people could stand clear of you and get away from you. Imagine living in a world having to make those type of declarations. Hear me this one. I believe it's the same with sin. Sin separates our relationships. First and foremost, it separates your relationship with God. Look what Isaiah 59, crazy verse says. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. So many people say, well, I don't know why. You may wonder, why don't I hear God's voice? Why doesn't God speak to me? And my first reaction to you is, how's your sin life? Maybe sin has cut you off from the voice of God. This is the reality of sin. Sin separates us. And it doesn't just separate us from God, but how many know it separates us from one another? The thing that will destroy your marriage is sin. Sin is the thing that will destroy your friendship, your coworkers, your family, the unity of your relationships will all be destroyed because of sin. It's the selfishness. It's the way we don't guard our words. It's how we treat each other. It's our intentions. It's our attitudes. And all these simple things, they affect your relationship. And sin will separate and sever those relationships. Number four, correlation is simply this. Leprosy and sin are incurable without intervention. They're incurable without intervention. So for thousands of years, leprosy spread throughout the world and there was no cure. So for thousands of years, it separated people, it killed people, until 1940, just 80 years ago or so. Finally, someone comes up with an antibiotic. Like maybe someone says, maybe there's a solution to all this thing that's happened. Maybe there's a solution to this infirmity. How many knows this? It's the same thing with sin. For thousands and thousands of years in the Old Testament, it was the blood of bulls and goats that were sacrificed for our sins. And those things would barely cover the sin. Those things would just barely appease God in those moments. But just as we talked about gratitude, how many of you know I'm so grateful that there is a solution given for our sin today. And his name is Jesus Christ. There was a solution. There was a cure, and his name was Jesus. So when our sins were wrecking our lives, Jesus comes on the scene, and he brings a cure. I love the way Romans writes it. It says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. So in other words, it's a reminder, we can't work out this by ourselves. We can't bring the cure to ourselves. We look at ourselves and all the requirements that God has for us, and there's no way we will measure up. We're gonna mess up, we're gonna make mistakes, and here's the good news, we're all in the same boat. No one person's greater than the other, we all are gonna mess up. We're all in that same boat, we've all messed up, and that's why Jesus came, to bring the cure to our sin. That's the good news of the gospel, that there is a cure, and his name is Jesus Christ. The fifth one I would say is this, and I love it. Leprosy and sin were conquered by Christ. What's the combination? Leprosy and sin were conquered by Christ. Jesus steps into the scene, right? And a disease that no one could cure, Jesus Christ comes, right? You need to know that the disease of sin, nobody can cure it. You can't cure it. Your friends and your family can't cure it. It's great to have people you can talk to and share things with. But at the end of the day, they don't have the cure for you. You can't give enough. You can't serve enough. You can't love enough to get this sin out of your life. Jesus came and he conquered it on the cross and he brought the cure for your sin. He's the only cure. Jesus conquered it what nobody else could conquer. Jesus cured what nobody else could cure in your life. So when you look back at this story, right, and you see this thing about this man who has leprosy, and it reminds us, like when you go back to verse 12, it talks about Jesus while he was in this town. He came across this man who's covered with leprosy. He's been dealing with this for years. But here's the reality. He had a choice in that moment. Hey, I've lived my whole life. Maybe he's even found a way to try to live this way and just accept the disease that's upon him. Just accept his lot in life. But here, I mean, you know, when Jesus steps on the scene and Jesus is available to you, you have a decision to make. You have a very close decision to make. You have a decision. Do I live with my sickness? That's the choice. The man could have obviously made that choice. But do I live with my sickness or do I do what this man did? The Bible tells us that he fell with his face to the ground and he begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. I don't know what effort today you have put into your relationship with God. I don't know how much effort and energy and time you have put into it, but I can tell you right now, if you're willing to put the effort in, God is willing. God is willing. He can make you clean. He can heal you. He can restore you. He can bring all those things into your life. This man knew something. When you're at the end of yourself and nothing else is working, you don't just walk up to Jesus and say, hey, you guy, hey, bro, can you help me? You don't just walk up to Jesus and say, hey, man, I need a miracle in my life. Can you do that for me? This guy taught us something. You walk with your face to the ground, humbled. God, I've messed up. I've blown it. I'm nothing. I give you my life. I give you my trust. I give you my commitment. I lay myself down before you, God. Here's my life. You hold the cure. And this is where faith really starts in our lives. In fact, I wrote it this way. Our faith begins and builds with humility. Begins and builds with humility. It's us saying, God, I'm laying my life down. I'm going to lay my agenda down. I'm going to lay my desires down. I'm going to humble myself because I need you. Either way, I will say this to you, church. Either we humble ourselves or we will eventually just get humbled. We don't like to hear that, but I just know the Bible says that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. So you can choose to either humble yourself now or eventually you will just get humbled. Either way, sometimes we think we're doing fine all by ourselves, right? Hear me, I got this. But I tell you either way, humility will happen. And I would rather start my humility out with just simply saying, God, I need you. God, I need you. And here's the thing. When you just say those simple words, God, I need you, God honors that. God, I need you. God will bless that. God, I need you. God will use that. In fact, God, I need you. It opens the path. God will do miracles with that. God, I need you. Humility can change things in your life. Look what 1 John writes it this way, and I love it. The Bible says, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And it goes on, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It takes humility to confess sins. Come on, man, we live in a world like, I don't need that. I got control, I can handle this. It takes humility to take a step back and say, I am wrong. It takes humility to step back and say, I've made mistakes. It takes humility to recognize that my life is a mess and I need someone to forgive me of my mistakes. And I love it because it says that he is faithful and just to forgive you. And not just to forgive you, but to cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness. You humble yourselves. Listen to me, Christian. The reality with humility is this. It's not a one-time thing. How many know humility is every day? Every day, God, I humble myself. Every day we spend time before the Lord. We say to humility, the Lord says, I am not sufficient within myself to handle this. I need to humble myself before you, oh God. In fact, I heard somebody say one time, I love it. It says, a person that's on their face can't fall far from that. A person that's on their face can't fall far from that. Right? If we want to live a life where God uses us, we have to walk in humility. And so this man gets on his face and he says, God, I need you. And then we get to verse 13 and he said, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. Now, we got to pause here because you got to understand how many know that is against every law of the Old Testament. Like, you don't touch what is messed up. You don't touch what is unclean. You will be infected yourself. You'll be ostracized. You just don't do that. But Jesus knew that greater is he. Like, Jesus knew the power that was inside of him was greater than that which was in the world. When Jesus touches your life, how many know things change? If you allow him to touch your life, things change. And so Jesus says to him, be clean. Love that. Be clean. Now we get that moment, sometimes we see that, right? We want Jesus to work in our life and we really love the moments, and he can do this, but we love the poof moments, right? Like I'm struggling with something, God take this from me, poof, it's gone. And he can do that, but how sometimes God just doesn't work that way. Like sometimes it's a process. And so I did some research. And what I found out is that many times we want to be clean, but we still find ourselves dealing with issues. And so I looked at those words, those two words, be clean. I'm like, well, what's Jesus saying to him in the original language? What's he saying about being clean? And this is what be clean simply means, those two words, to purge out, scrub. To purge out and scrub. So what does that mean for us today? Let me get my prop here, right? So what does that mean for us today? This kind of represents our life. Little dirt spots here and there. It's not all bad, right? But there's some spots that are in our lives, and we need to get those things removed. It means when there's things that are dirty in your life, and we all have got some stuff in our life.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
It says that your spirit is righteous before God. But let's be honest, there are still things in your life that still need some scrubbing. So Jesus is saying, hey, you know, your attitude needs to be scrubbed. Your mind, your actions need some scrubbing. So Jesus is saying, be clean, be clean. And I'm sure we would love to paint a picture in the church of this story where he's being clean and this aha moment's coming, and we could create this beautiful picture. But I'm not so sure that that's what it would look like. In fact, I brought this today, like, I don't know if you know what this is. Some of you are too young. This is called a washboard, all right? This is before any of our time, how they would clean and wash their clothes. And so we have this washboard, and they would wash their clothes. And the reality is what I picture, I think, is Jesus saying it's something like this. Like, if you surrender this area, this dirty spot, it almost looks like Jesus saying, okay, I'm going to scrub this out of your life. It's a process. Like, you're scrubbing it. Okay, it's not all the way there. I'm still scrubbing it. It's like you're saying, God might just put you with people you don't like. Like, right next to them. And you're like, God, change them. And God's like, no, I'm scrubbing you. Like, God, you're like, God's like, I want to put patience in your life. And so the scrubbing is, I'm going to put you on Reserve Street at 4 o'clock on Friday. And I'm going to teach you. I'm going to scrub this out of your life. Right? And that's usually how it works. He just keeps scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. And then you're like, oh man, look how great God did this great thing in my life. And he scrubbed all this out. But then guess what? I got more spots other places. Like, you think the one thing's gone, and then you find, oh my no, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more other spots that need scrubbing. Can I tell you this? I just believe this. You know when this towel will actually be fully clean? When you get to heaven. Like, you're always gonna have spots that need to be scrubbed. It only changes, it'll only be clean when you actually get to heaven. Until then, guess what we gotta do, guys? We have to embrace the scrubbing. You have to embrace that God's working things out of your life, and it's not comfortable and it's not always good, but in the end, it all works out for his glory and your glory and your grace. Just allowing him to scrub those things out of your life, working these things out. He wants to get us clean. In fact, I wrote it this way. It's a great thing. I believe this: becoming Christ-like is a combination of God's grace and our grit. Combination of our God's grace and our grit. A lot of it is we walk around and say, God, I need you to fix this. God, I need you to do this for me. God, I'd like you just to fix this. But I think God's like, hey, listen, okay, I got grace for you, but I need some grit from you as well. So you're like, oh, God says, like, I'll fix that, but maybe you need to spend some more time with me. Like, okay, God's like, I need you to fix this. And God's like, I'll fix it, but maybe you need to sacrifice a little bit extra of your sleep time and get up and spend some time with me. Like, maybe God's like, I'll fix it, but maybe you need to serve first. Like, maybe I'll fix it, but can you trust me enough to give when you don't really feel like giving, right? And I know you're sitting here today and go, well, that's not what I signed up for. I thought you would just fix my problems, God. But God has a way of blessing you when you do your part. When you allow him to scrub you, he has a way of blessing you. There was a guy in the Old Testament, his name was Naaman, and he was covered with leprosy. And the great man of God tells him, here's how you're gonna get cleansed from this leprosy. Is this how you're gonna get the leprosy out of your life? And listen to how he tells him, look what happens. 2 Kings 5, it says this. So he went down and he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. As the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clear like that of a young boy. Naaman battled this, like this idea of like, why do I have to do this? Like, this doesn't seem to make sense. Here's what I realized with scripture, that God always doesn't always just do the miracle. What he does is he has us go down and dip ourselves in the river 7 times. In other words, he has us go down and say, you put the grit in, you put the effort in. I think sometimes we're missing the miracle because sometimes he wants us to do it for ourselves. Like, he wants us to put the effort in. I'd encourage you, I know people, and I understand some people can't get to church, you know, and you watch it online, and we appreciate that. But some of you have this mentality of, well, if God wants to do it in my life, he can come do it here. And I just tell you, get to church. Like, find yourself in community and allow God. Put some grit and allow his grace to change you. Luke 14 goes on, he says, you know, then he ordered them not to tell anyone and go to the priest and go do the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. I love this, right? So in other words, he's saying, it's not just, don't just say you're clean, but go to the church and show them. Like, let's go prove to them what God has done in your life, which, by the way, is what baptism is, what we're going to do today, is what baptism's all about. Hear me this morning. Baptism is not saying, I got my life together. Baptism is not saying everything is perfect. You know what? It's saying this. This is what baptism says. He who began a great work in me will be faithful to complete it. Baptism is the first step. It's not the last step. It's coming to the church and saying, hey, there was a sacrifice paid for me and I received it, and now I'm being cleansed in my body, in my mind, in my soul, in my heart. Baptism say, because of what Jesus has done in my life, I'm gonna be a testimony to them. Just like he says, be a testimony to them. How many know this one in church? Your testimony matters. Your story matters. In fact, when it all comes to an end, at the very end, I love how they write it in Revelation 12. Look what it says. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. What they said mattered. What they did mattered. You want to conquer the enemy of this world today that we live in? You do it by the blood of the Lamb, God's grace, and by the word of your testimony. In other words, what God has done in your life. Baptism is us celebrating. It's people celebrating, look what Jesus did. In fact, I wrote down this way, this is what I believe about testimonies. Testimonies produce testimonies. Testimonies produce testimony. Can I encourage you in this room today? Don't shy away from sharing what Jesus has done in your life, right? Well, you say to yourself, well, people don't want to hear that. You know, they don't want me to push my faith on them. What? What did it say? They overcame by the word of their testimony. I wrote down this way. When we celebrate what Jesus has done in our life, it builds faith for people to believe it can happen in their life. People can say all they want, but they cannot argue what God has done in your life. And it builds faith for them to say, he can do that in my life? This is why we do baptism. This is why we have a social media account where we put stuff on social media. This is why we do church, so that we can celebrate what God has done in our lives. And so that other people can say, hey, wait, God can do that in my life? So this man couldn't keep quiet what the Lord had done. Let me give you a little fact. 12 chapters later, we're in chapter 5. 12 chapters later, Jesus is doing ministry in another town, and guess who shows up? 10 lepers show up. 10 lepers show up. It went from one leper to to 10 lepers in just a matter of weeks. Can I tell you why? Because I think 10 lepers heard what he did for one leper. And they were like, if he can do it for that one, then he can do it for me. One went to 10. One multiplied to 10 simply because they heard and saw what Jesus did for them. Verse 15, it closes with this. It says, yet news about him spread, and all the more the crowds followed him, and people came to hear about him and were healed of their sicknesses. Miracles began to happen. Listen to me, the same Jesus that healed that leper, the same Jesus that changed my life, the same Jesus that changed your life, the same Jesus that saved those that are being baptized today is the same Jesus that can change your life. If you're willing to say, I give you my life. I'm gonna invite those who are being baptized today, if you wanna go ahead and get to a place, head to the back. We're gonna prepare ourselves to do baptism this morning. But I want to ask us in the room, can we humble ourselves? Can you humble yourself? Can you humble yourself before Jesus? Taking all the things in life, all the security that you currently have, which is all great. We don't fault that. But in spite of all that, do you still have the ability to fall down before the face of the Lord and humble yourself before him? Because God is the one who holds the cure to the sin in our life. Would you stand with me this morning? I ask you this question. What are you trying to cleanse out of your life? I thought about this. I actually wrote it down. It's important for us, because we don't always do this in church. It's important for us to have moments where we stop, we reflect, and we humble ourselves and say, hey, God, would you highlight areas in my life that are sin? Lord, would you highlight areas of my life that aren't pleasing to you? Would you highlight the areas of my life that are keeping me from relationship with you? Because, again, we're all in the same boat. We all have. Not one person in this room doesn't have an area of their life that God could highlight. An area of their life that's keeping them from understanding the goodness of God. And just like the scrub, we're always going to have spots, but hey, God, would you work on that spot? And would you work on that spot? Would you scrub that spot? Would you scrub that spot? Would you scrub that spot? But it's daily humbling ourselves before God and saying, God, I need you. God, I confess that I am a sinner. That I need the cure, who is Jesus Christ. So would you bow your heads with me in just a moment? We're gonna sing a song, but just in this moment, can we take a moment? And if you feel comfortable enough in this room, right there where you're sitting, can you make it your prayer? God, highlight areas in my life that I need to give to you. Some of us don't even need it to highlight. We know what they are. But God, what are the areas in my life? What is the sin that has separated me? What is the leprosy inside of me that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be brought to the surface, that needs to be exposed so that I can be all that you've called me to be, and I can live the way you've called me to live? Lord, I want our people to be healthy people, not perfect people, but healthy people. And healthy people aren't perfect. Healthy people are just saying, listen, I'm gonna desire to humble myself before God. Healthy people are just every day saying, Lord, I need you. Healthy people are like, I'm going to make the efforts to live for God. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to have sin. But Lord, every day I will humble myself and say, not if you're willing, but understand, God, that you are willing.
Go ahead.
You're willing. And so we pray for that today, Jesus. If you're in the room today with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're in this room today and you say, Pastor Heath, my relationship with the Lord is not there. I don't have a relationship with the Lord, or it's faltered. My relationship is not strong. I need to eradicate some things in my life, and that's where you are. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you forward or embarrass you in any way, but if you're here today and you've listened to this and you're like, my life is separated from God and I need to bring it back. I need to come back into relationship with Jesus. And if that's you this morning, right where you're sitting, with your eyes bowed, no one's looking around, but if you're here today and that's you, I need to slip your hand up. I need to know who you are so I can pray for you. Anyone in the room, thank you, thank you. Come on, I see hands everywhere. You're not alone. If you raise your hand, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're in this together. Lord, I pray for those who raised their hand today. You are a good God. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're great. I pray that the Holy Spirit that is moving in this room is the same Holy Spirit that will speak to us and challenge us and convict us. But it's the same Holy Spirit that will draw us into relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that right now where we're sitting, those who raise their hand, Lord, I pray right now they would just, right where they're sitting, say this simple prayer. Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Save me. Sanctify me. Set me free. I want to live for you. I want to live for you. I humble myself before you, oh God, knowing that you have the ability to set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to throw a curveball. If you're in this room today, we have a list of people on our list that are going to be baptized. And I felt this message fit so well with baptism, the idea of cleansing of sin. And that's what baptism is, right? It's almost like a spiritual bath for you. You're cleansed and you come back new. It's a rebirth. Living up, dying to the self, coming up new. And listen, there's no prerequisite. If you love Jesus and you've given your life to him and you want to make that public, here's what we're going to do. You can get baptized today. If you're in the room today and you've made that decision and you've never been baptized, or you have and you're coming back to the Lord and you want to get baptized today, no pressure, you don't have to. But here's what we're going to tell you. If you want that and you want to get baptized today, all you got to do is walk back to that door right there. I'm going to ask Braden to go to the back door and that back section over there. And if anyone goes to see Braden, he will walk you to this back area back here. We have a change of clothes for you. If you want a change of clothes, we have that for you. And we have extra towels, so you don't have to worry about that. You're not going to go home wet. We have extras. So if that's you today and you want to get baptized, this is your day. You can do it right now. And so when we start to worship, all you have to do is walk to that exit, green exit sign back there. My son Braden will meet you there, and we'll get you directed to the backstage. So if you're looking today and you want to be baptized, this is your day. Amen? All right. Lord, right now, we just move in this place, God. We ask you right now to speak to us. We're excited about what's about to happen, and we're going to worship you as we get prepared to see what you have done in the lives of people. And so, Lord, we give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name.